Amen. And God has blessed and God has given us salvation. God has given us so much to be thankful for. And I know, again, as I mentioned, sometimes testimony time can be a hard time. It's when the Velcro on the chair gets really sticky. But I always like to give an opportunity if people just want to praise God for what He's doing in your life, praise God for salvation. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So would anybody like to give a testimony? Lloyd. Amen. Yes, thank you. Amen. Anyone else? All right, going once, going twice. KDN. Yeah, heading to Faithway. Amen. And pray for Marissa and pray for the Reeves and praise God for children. Amen. Okay, I don't want to say going three times. I'll go once again. Going once. Going twice. All right. Take your Bibles and this afternoon. Turn to Psalms chapter 18 and verse 30. I'm not going to be very long. I know it's nap time. Amen. Are you guys too tired to say amen, or you just not have Sunday afternoon naps? Because maybe I need to preach a message on that. Amen. It's nap time, but we'll get everyone home and enjoy the afternoon and the rest of the day. But when we think about kind of picking up from the message this morning about faith and about trust, you know, there's a lot of things in life that we trust. And I'm going to ask a question right now. I'm going to see who can come up, great minds think alike, with what I am thinking. Okay, what are you trusting right now? The chair. Who said chair? Did you say chair as well? A couple people said chair. That's the thing I was thinking of as well. You're trusting those chairs, amen? Now, if you got one of the blue ones, you're okay. But if you're sitting on one of those white ones, you've got a lot of trust, amen? A lot of trust, a lot of faith, and a lot of dry cleaning bills, amen? But we all, listen, every single day, we put our faith and trust in so many different things. And in life, one of our biggest problems as human beings is trusting in ourselves. Now, we are so smart, and we have all of the answers. And, you know, it's amazing when you get two guys in a coffee shop, within a half an hour, they have all of the world's problems solved. I'm a little slow. It took me 40 minutes, actually. But we can solve all the world's problems. We get into situations in life, whether it's serious situations or whether they're just your typical, you know, daily situation. You're working on your car and you can't figure out how something comes off. And we trust ourselves. We are experts at learning to trust ourselves. Now, I didn't get saved until I was 31 years old. And I had 31 years of programming from the world. I had 31 years of the world's philosophy and the world's idea of trusting in yourself. And you know, there comes a time in our life and in our Christian life, and usually when our Christian life begins, we trust God. We trust Him for salvation. But we go on from there. We move from faith, the Bible says, to faith. You know, the Christian life isn't over when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's not the end of our Christian experience, our Christian life. We go on in life learning to trust. And as we trust in different things, we trusted in our cars to get us here, amen? We trusted in the guys driving the other way to stay in their own lanes. We trusted the guys behind us to learn to brake when we did. We trust our politicians. We trust our dentist. Amen. We trust our doctor. I know you guys are all stuck on the politician one. I know. I can't even go into. I don't know about that one, Pastor. But we trust our doctors, and we trust people. The Bible says that we, as His people, need to learn to trust Him. There's a lot of things in this world that just aren't trustworthy. Amen? There's a lot of things that just aren't trustworthy. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 30, the Bible says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him." And here, you know, the Bible gives us different reasons why we can trust God. And we're going to look at those in a minute. I was talking to the guys, we were sitting eating, and I said this, something we can't trust, we cannot trust Adams. You know Adams? We can't trust Adams because they make up everything. That, folks, that is serious humor, okay? Go home and think about it for a while. I think that's a funny joke. That's one that maybe is, anyway, we won't go there. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Let's pray before we get into the message. Father, we thank You again for this time together. Blessed as we learn to trust. There's many things we can trust, but we need to trust You. We thank You and praise You for this time together in Jesus' name, and amen. Every one of us have not only had people who have violated the trust of friendship, but we have, in many times in our life, we have let people down. We have done things that maybe has caused people to lose their trust in us. There are many times in life when life doesn't seem worth, I don't want to say worth living, but worth trusting. There's nothing that seems to be fair in life. Life always seems to be unfair. Yet we find that God wants us to be not only trusting Him with the small things, but trusting Him with everything. You know, sometimes Christians can either say, well, you know, I can trust God with the big things, but the little things, I'm just not going to worry Him. I don't want to bother God with all the little trivialities of my life, all the little problems I'm going through, all of the things that are setting me back. I don't want to bother God with those. I'm just going to bring the big things to Him. And then there's other Christians that say, well, you know, I'm just going to bring little problems to God because I don't want to overwhelm them with all of my big problems. I'll just handle those ones myself. And you know, sometimes in our minds we get this idea that we can bring certain things to God, but we can't bring all things to God. We need to bring everything to God, whether it's the most minute of problems or whether it's the greatest of problems. There was a man by the name of Monroe Parker, and he was traveling through South Alabama in one of those hot, sultry Alabama days, and he stopped at a watermelon stand. He picked out a watermelon and asked the proprietor how much it cost, and the proprietor said it was $1.10. Well, Parker dug into his pocket, and the only thing he'd find was a dollar. And he said to the proprietor, he says, well, I guess I can't buy the watermelon. I've only got a dollar. The proprietor said, well, that's okay. I'll trust you for it. Well, that's mighty nice of you, said Parker. And he responded by picking up the watermelon, and he started to leave. And the proprietor said, hey, wait a minute. What about the dollar? Parker said, hey, I thought you said you trusted me for it. I meant I was going to trust you for the dime, he replied. Mac, Parker replied, you weren't going to trust me at all. And this is really good. You weren't going to trust me at all. You were just going to take a 10-cent gamble on my integrity. Amen? Either you're going to trust him for the whole thing or you're going to trust him for a dime. And either we as God's people can trust God with everything, or we can't trust him with anything. It's easy to trust in the little things, but when it comes to life-changing and challenging experiences, we've got to bring everything to God. I noticed the first part of our verse here. The Bible says there that God's ways are perfect. Listen, if something is perfect, we can trust it. And I know Keith here, he works on his machines and gets these rolls and all the things that he makes down to these very, very small tolerances, and you could say that they're near perfect, and you know they're exactly where they're supposed to be. But you know what? Perfection is hard to find. Amen. If you want to make something perfect, if you want to do something perfect, we got to work pretty hard at it. Amen. Stop and think about it for a minute. How much error are we willing to assume in life? You know, if you're a weatherman, you can be wrong 60% of the time, and you're doing a good job. You know, if you were a weatherman in the Old Testament, you'd get stoned for false predictions. Amen? How about school? Now, public schools, it's 50% now. I guess you can't even fail them. It's against the law to fail them. But when I was in school, it was 50%. How many people would be satisfied with 50%? Yeah, that's pretty good. How about 90? 90's better. Is 90 good? 90's pretty good. You know, you trust your doctor to be 90%, right? Amen? Well, say, well, I don't know. I think my doctor should be 100%. The doctor was putting some stitches in my finger one time, and I wasn't looking. And he's working away, and I'm there with my eyes closed, and he's talking to me, and all of a sudden he goes, oops. And I said, listen, don't ever say oops when you're doing even minor surgery on someone. Don't say oops. Not the thing to say at that time. But, you know, when we think about that, how many people would be happy with 99%? Amen? If you did a test and you got 99%, would you be happy? Marissa, if you went to Faithway, you got 99% and everything? Your dad would fall over dead. No, you would be happy, amen? I'd be happy for you. 99 is pretty good, amen? We would all think 99% is pretty good. But listen to this. If you were right 99% of the time, we would have no phone service for 15 minutes each day. 1.7 million pieces of first-class mail would be lost every day. 35 million newborn babies would be dropped by doctors. 200,000 people would get the wrong drug prescription every single day. Unsafe drinking water three times a day. Three misspelt words on the average page of type. And 2 million people would die from food poisoning if we accepted 99%. We would all agree 99 is pretty good. God says here that his ways are perfect, 100%. Do you know God has never made a mistake? Did you know God cannot make a mistake? God has never made a mistake, and God will never make a mistake. Now, if we can trust the weatherman at 60%, if we could trust our doctors at 90%, if we could trust an exam or trust whatever else in society might get 99%, certainly we should be able to trust God, who is right 100% of the time. And the Bible says the word of the Lord is tried, and that idea is the word of being tested or proven. Listen, folks, we can rely on the word of God. Amen? People, when we think about the world and what people can trust, people trust this and people trust that, and yet people try to ridicule the Word of God. And has anybody here ever had somebody ridicule the Bible to you? Because if you do, you haven't, you're not breathing. Amen? How can you trust that old book? How can you trust something that's 2,000 years old? Well, listen, if there's something today that's written that's perfect, then I'll read that too. But this book is perfect. And not only is this book perfect, not only did God inspire this book, and by the way, there are no contradictions, amen? There's no contradictions. There's no discrepancies in the Word of God. It is a perfect book. God says it can be trusted. All we have today is confusion with all these Bible versions. I remember sitting down once doing a Bible study with some folks, and they were all from the same church, but they all had different Bible versions. And they got confused. And then they tried to tell me, it's so much better having all these different versions. And I said, you guys are all confused. What does it mean? Is that verse supposed to be in the Bible or isn't it supposed to be in the Bible? Well, mine says this and mine says that. I don't care what yours says. I want to know what God says. Amen? And by the way, when you read the King James Bible, you know it's what God says and not what man says. That's a whole other message. But modern versions, they change what God says. They have deliberately changed what God says because they're smarter than God. And they know better ways to say it than God did. So anyways, God's book can be trusted. Amen. You don't have to wonder when you read a verse. Could you imagine, first of all, I want to say this. It talked about all of the wrong prescription drugs. Has anybody ever got the wrong prescription? They gave me the wrong stuff. I have gone down to everything's now digital, right? I think everyone's doctor is digital. Everything's sent to the pharmacy digital over the internet or whatever. I haven't got a prescription, actual prescription, in a while. But anyways, I remember getting those prescriptions and walking into the pharmacy, and I'm looking at that thing going, how in the world are they ever going to figure out this chicken scratching? And I'm like, I don't know if it's part of their curriculum or how. You would hand them that prescription, and they say, oh, Tylenol 3s. And I'd look at that and going, like, I have no idea, but they'd always seem to get it right. You know, you don't have to wonder if God's giving you something that it's what you need. Amen. It's the right medicine from the Word of God. And I believe that every one of life's situations and every problem in life has an answer in the Bible. You know, the Bible doesn't address everything. I'm glad it doesn't, because we wouldn't be able to read it through in a year. Amen. But it gives a principle for every single situation in life, everything. It is complete. It is thorough. It is all we need and all we'll ever need. And you know, you can't trust what the world says. You can't trust what the worldling says. You can't trust what Dr. Spock says or Sigmund Freud or Carl Rogers or any of the other worldly psychiatrists today. You can't trust the world, but you can trust the Word of God. Amen? It is tried, the Bible says. It's trustworthy. And then the Bible says in our verse there that He is a buckler to them, to those that trust in Him. And a buckler, what is a buckler? A buckler is a shield. It's our defense. Now, if you're going to go into battle with your life on the line, would you want some weapons? And especially a defense mechanism that's going to be trustworthy. I, you know what? If I was going, into a fight. You know, back in the days when swords and spears were the weapons, I wouldn't want to go into a fight with a garbage can lid, a Rubbermaid garbage can lid, and a broom handle. It's just not going to cut it. But the Bible here says that God is he's a buckler. He's a shield that we can trust. So when the enemy's blows come down, when the world is beating down on us, it's going to stand the test of time. The Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 that above all of the other pieces of armor that the Christian is to put on, the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I want you to notice that above all. It is the first above all. We need to have the shield. We need that shield above all things, the shield of faith. Faith or trust in God always comes first. If we don't have that faith, if we don't have that trust in God, nothing else matters. You know, when that fiery dart is coming your way, and you know, you may have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and all of the other pieces of equipment on, but that shield, that defense, that faith is going to be what is going to keep us in the fight. Because it's going to deflect all that the world, all the devil, and all of the things this world is going to throw at us. There is no doubt about God's trustworthiness. You know, there's no situation. I want you to listen to this. There's no situation that we can get in that God cannot get us out of. Some years ago, this story is told. When I was learning to fly, my instructor told me to put the plane into a steep and extended dive. I was totally unprepared for what was about to happen. After a brief time, the engine stalled and the plane began to plunge out of control. It soon became evident that the instructor was not going to help me. And after a few seconds, which seemed like an eternity, my mind began to function again. I quickly corrected the situation. Immediately, I turned to the instructor and began to vent my fearful frustrations on him. But he very calmly said to me, "There's no position you can get this airplane into that you cannot get out of. If you want to learn to fly, go up there and just do it again." And at that moment, God seemed to be saying, "Remember this as you serve me. There's no situation you can get yourself into that I cannot get you out of. If you trust me, you'll be all right." And that was an illustration by James Brown from Evangeline Baptist Church. And you know, it's true. God is going to be trustworthy in no matter what situation God brings us in. And you know, just again thinking about Abraham's situation this morning, what seemed to be an impossibility, an impossible situation. God, I'm 100 years old. My wife is 90 years old. We're not going to have kids, God. It's just not going to happen. And you know, God is in the business of doing the impossible. And you know, you may be in a situation right now that may seem impossible. Say, "I don't know how to get out." We need to just simply believe that no matter what situation God has brought us in, no matter what situation you may be in right now, God can get you out of it. And you know, Abraham tried a couple times to get himself out of the situation himself. He did what all human beings do. We trust ourselves. Amen? You're going to college, you got to learn to trust God. Going to work, you got to learn to trust God. Just say, God can do it. God can help me. God can help me to be all that I can be for His glory and His honor. We just need to trust our Savior. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here again today. And Lord, we thank you that you are trustworthy and you are buckler. You're the author of the Word of God that we have before us, and we can trust it. Father, help us to be all that we can be. We'll thank you and praise you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Let's stand together as we have a closing song.